rooms all along the path. And all them flowers. A proper woman's backyard.
Well, Auntie Ada was a woman.
Only just. Her moustache was nearly as thick as mine. I tell you now, I am not going along these borders with a little trowel and a water can like some Nancy
well,
boy.
Well, don't worry, don't worry. Look, I shall be doing the garden.
Garden?
Look, Auntie Ada dying and leaving this house to me was the best thing that could have happened to us. It's a new life for you and me and young Ambrose.
I was happy enough with the old one.
Well, I wasn't. I've had my fill of the dole and hunger marches. I'm going to be a railwayman.
Ah.
Yes, a railwayman. One of the princes of the working class with regular wages and a job for life.
You'll never get a start without relatives already working on the railway. The Great Western has to be in the family. Like consumption.
Well, it is in the family.
Because your mother's second cousin was a station porter for 3 weeks before he got arrested. And you know what for, don't you? Asking boys to his allotment to see his rhubarb. So you could hardly use him for a reference.
I shan't need a reference.
I see. God's own gift to God's wonderful railway, are you?
They'll take me on.
You're a dreamer, like your father.
Well, maybe. But I won't die like him, I know that much.
In a thousand years' time, no one will care a hang how any of us die.
I'll die in one piece, not blown to 1,000 black smithereens.
He'd turn over in his grave if he knew you were thinking of wearing one of those little caps with a shiny black peak and GWR on your collar.
My father had a lot of time for railwaymen. It's just you that hate them. What is it you've got against them?
Mind your business.
Look, I'm going on the footplate. I start as a cleaner, then a fireman, then when my time comes, a driver.
You make it sound like being a prime minister.
It's ambition enough for me.
Love and the Great Western by Barry Thomas.
I'm not living with all that nonsense. I'm going back to Ponty.
Don't be soft. You've got nowhere to live in Ponty.
Haven't I? I've lived there all my life, don't forget. Apart from a day on a paddle steamer to Weston-super-Mare. All my friends are in Ponty.
Aye, in the cemetery at the back of the gospel hall.
And where's my box of bits and pieces?
I've put them in your bedroom.
My bedroom?
That's right. No more sharing with Ambrose. You'll be able to take out your teeth before turning off the light now.
And a chamber pot? Instead of going out the back in the cold?
If you empty the slops yourself, yes. And you're in the back bedroom, overlooking the lane. So you can sit and watch the courting couples, just like you used to in Ponty.
Tom, there's a funny smell in my bedroom. And it can't be Grandpa, because he's got his own bedroom now. Oh.
That funny smell is disinfectant. Your Auntie Ada used it by the gallon. She went around with a big bottle of it, like a priest waving incense. She waged a lifelong war against disease. That's why she never got married. It took her long enough, keeping her own germs at bay, let alone her companions. But it was all a waste of time, because they got her in the end. And a couple were found locked in each other's arms in a death dress. The husband of the dead woman was shocked by the tragedy. She was of a musical disposition, he said, and I thought she joined the operatic just to sing arias with him.
Where's that unholy noise coming from?
It's the woman next door. She sits and plays in the window and pokes her tongue out at everyone.
Oh, her, is it? Auntie Ada told me about her. She wants to be alone. So they call her Greta Garbo.
A new life for us, huh? A fine start. Next door to a madhouse. A
Ambrose Ronald Stark. And his date of birth?
December the 8th, 1921.
9 years old. He'll be in Miss Jones's class. We'll take him along in a moment. You're his brother, are you, Mr. Stark?
Yes, that's right.
His mother couldn't come along today, then?
No. Well, our mother is dead.
I'm sorry.
I should have said... our father, too. He was killed in a pit explosion. Our mother died, less than a year after. She was very fond of our father.
Yes, I understand. Well, Ambrose, I think you'll be happy here.
Ambrose was top of his class in his school in Ponty.
Good. Try and keep up the standard here, won't you, Ambrose?
Yes, sir.
You're employed like most in this area, Mr. Stark, by the Great Western Railway?
No, I'm not. But I hope to be. I'm not employed at the moment. I'm unemployed, Dennis.
The plight of so many in the country at this time. Morganstown is rather fortunate. So many being employed by the Great Western Railway. Well, I'll take you along to Miss Jones before I ring the bell. You needn't wait, Mr. Stark.
Oh. Goodbye then, Ambrose.
Miss Jones?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Richards.
I've got a new pupil for you, Ambrose Stark.
Good morning, Ambrose.
Good morning, miss.
His brother brought him along. His parents are deceased. I shall see you later, Ambrose. 9 o'clock, bell time.
Would you like to sit here, Ambrose, in the front row? Then I can look at your work and see how you're progressing. Got a good pair of boots, sir.
Yes, miss. My brother put new soles and heels on for me, special for today.
And good thick ones.
Steads as well, miss. They have to last.
Did you clean them yourself?
No, my brother.
I can almost see my reflection in the toes.
He's gone home to shine his own up now. He hopes to get an interview at the shed.
The Great Western Running Shed?
Yes. He's going to be a cleaner, then a fireman, then a driver.
Edward Jones, take that gobstopper out of your mouth and keep it for playtime. Right. File into school, starting with yours, Miss Arnold. And no talking.
Come in.
Headmaster, you were saying the other day that you had a pair of sandals your son had grown out of.
That's right. Yes, a month, that's all, and they were pinching his toes. Isn't it dreadful? We should have taken more care when we bought them, of course, to see they were half a size larger. Why?
It's the new boy, Ambrose Stark. He appears to be the only boy in the school in boots.
Let's have a look out of the window.
He's over there by the gate. By himself.
Yes. Now, but he'll soon make friends, of course. He's not an inward-looking boy. Yes, I think you're right. He is the only boy in boots.
It's a very hot day for them.
In my day, of course, we all wore boots, winter and summer.
Well, they still do wear boots, I've no doubt, in less well-off parts of the country. I'm sure they all do in the mining valley where he's just come from. But you can see why he's not running about with all the others. His feet are too hot. What size are the sandals your son had grown out of?
Size 2.
I wonder...
Yes, Miss Jones, we've still got them. Give me a reminder before I go home to lunch, and I'll fetch them back with me.
Thank you, Headmaster.
I couldn't even get to see the Shedmaster.
What did I tell you?
I spoke to a charge hand. He was handing out oily waste to the engine cleaners, and looked at me as if I needed a bit of a clean while they were about it. He said I'd have to write in and get my name put down.
That's right. I remember someone having his name down, as he called it. He'll wait for his name to go to the top of the list. Then they send him to Swindon for a medical before they give him a start. A strict medical, too, I believe. Did this charge and ask you if there was anyone else in the family working on the Great Western?
Yes, he did.
You see? What did I tell you?
Don't rub it in.
Any other work going in the town?
Nothing at all.
A new life, huh? Seems just like the old one to me.
Hey, Aunt Rose! What are you doing sitting there? This is Miss Jones's house.
I know. I'm waiting for her.
Oh, I. Teacher's pet already, is it? And only your first day.
She said to wait for her after school, that's all. Like it was a secret.
Don't go into the house, mind. Whatever she says, stay on the step here.
Why?
I wouldn't go in there.
Why not?
There might be a ghost of him.
Ghost of who?
Her husband. And he won't have his cap on.
Why not?
Why not? Because he hasn't got a head to put it on.
No head to put it on?
No, and you wouldn't have one either if the 1245 to Bryn Howell went over your neck.
Here she comes.
Whatever you do, don't go into the house. Stay on the step.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Ambrose. Headmaster wants a word. Oh, now, I have my key. Ooh, not easy with my bike. Ah, like to unlock for me. Thank you. In you go, then. What's the matter?
I'll wait on the step, miss.
It's quite all right. You're not here to be punished. Far from it. In you go.
Yes, miss.
In here. Front room.
Thank you, miss.
You're just four doors along, then?
Am I? Oh, yes, I am.
Very hot today, even hotter than yesterday, I think. Are your feet hot in those boots?
Yes, miss. They are.
Thought they might be. That's why I asked you to come here. What size are your boots?
Size 2.
I was right. Try these on.
Sandals?
Sit down and take your boots off.
New ones?
Not quite, but as good as.
They look new.
Now, try this one.
There.
Does it pinch anywhere?
No, it's fine.
Take the other boot off and we'll try the other one. What's the matter?
We can't afford them. You see, my brother spent a lot on buying this leather for my boots, so he won't be able to afford it.
Oh, there's no money required. At least your other boot.
Off he comes.
Now, try this one. Well, looks like they were made for you.
Smell nice, too. If they could see me in Ponty now.
Hardly worn. They don't look worn at all to me.
That's what I said.
Let's see the bottoms.
They have been worn. The bottoms are not that cheese colour. They're all black.
They could have gone that colour wearing them from her house to home.
Don't be soft. Only four doors along.
New or nearly new makes no difference.
She was glad she found someone to wear them.
No, I.
Now he's the same as all the others in school. Boys like to be the same. Comfort in life.
Take them off.
Just a minute.
Look, don't interfere, please, Grandpa. I know what has to be done.
You're going to take them back?
Oh, no. Oh, don't take them back.
No, quiet. Speak when you're spoken to and take them sandals off.
To go taking them back is damned ungrateful.
Grandpa, will you leave this to me, please? I am responsible for this boy. It's been left to me to bring him up.
Oh, we don't have to pay for them. There's no money required, you
said. That's just it. I don't want charity, thank you. Especially from a starch-drawer schoolteacher.
She's not a starch-drawer at all.
Look, take them sandals off, will you, before I pull them off and your feet with them.
Don't you lay a hand on that boy.
Take them off. Look, just look at the straps and buckles. The things are for girls, not boys.
I told you. All the boys you're wearing them, and you can't have Ambrose being different about the feet. And you brought us here, don't forget.
Look, I don't want charity.
You can't throw a well-meant gift back in a woman's face.
Oh, don't take them back, Tom. Oh, please don't take them back.
Don't whine. What have I told you about whining? Cry if you must. Bawl your eyes out, but don't whine.
Just what your father used to say.
Right then, right. And now I'm saying it, right? Now, let's have this sandal.
No!
Four doors along, you said, was it?
Oh, Tom, please. Oh, please don't take them back.
If you were starving, it'd be different. Or if you had no boots at all for your feet. But I saw to it before we came here that you'd have the best pair of boots a boy could have ready for school. Well, didn't I?
Yes, Tom, you did.
Look, I sold them and I healed them specially at the expense of all our stomachs. Now, look. Look at the bottoms of mine. Look. There. See the holes? The cardboard stuffed inside? And your grandpa's just the same.
Our dad wouldn't have taken them back, or our mum.
Don't play that one. The tune won't work this time.
Damn you, Tom. To give the sandal to the boy. To wear the slate to you, a great man.
I am teaching the boy to stand on his own feet.
Then why can't he stand on him just as well in a pair of sandals?
I'm taking them back to her.
Oh, no, Tom, please.
Look, they're going back. And you can stop your snivelling and put your boots on. I shall be long.
Yes?
Yes, Miss Jones at home, please.
I'm Miss Jones.
Oh, well, I meant your mother. Is your mother at home?
My mother doesn't live here. She's the other side, number 23. Can I help?
Well, no. No, thank you. I'm sorry I troubled you.
Are you Mr. Stark, Ambrose's brother?
Yes. Yes, I am. Oh, sandals.
I'm Ambrose's teacher.
Yes.
How do you do?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, perhaps it was me you wanted to speak to.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
Please come in.
Oh, thank you.
This way, please.
Oh. This is a nice room.
My husband was decorating it. As you can see, he papered just the two walls. I'm sorry, you wouldn't know, of course. My husband died 4 weeks ago today.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
I've just made some tea. Would you like a cup?
Well, that's very kind. Thank you.
Sugar?
Yes, please.
Your brother Ambrose is a very bright child.
He was top of the class in Ponty. Oh, thank you. That's very nice wallpaper on the two walls. You'll do the other two, I suppose?
My father keeps threatening to, but he's always so busy with one thing and another. What was it you wanted to speak to me about?
These sandals.
Oh, dear, they don't fit after all.
Oh, yes, they fit fine. I came to thank you for them.
Oh, I see.
Silly, wasn't it, bringing them with me? I forgot I still had them in my hand.
The headmaster mentioned his son had grown out of them inside a month. It seemed such a shame for them not to be worn by someone.
Well, it was very thoughtful of you to think of asking the headmaster for them. Thank you. If you don't mind my asking, is that your husband?
Yes, that's Raymond. Taken outside the signal box.
Oh, which box?
Morganstown, the other side of Borough's Meadow. That's the station master, Mr. Davis, standing next to him.
Oh. Did he have a long illness?
Oh, no, he wasn't ill. He used to walk to work along the railway lines. He was on the afternoon turn that day. The driver of the train tried to stop, but there's a rather sharp bend the other side of Borough's Meadow, and he couldn't stop in time.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're living alone here, then?
Yes. My mother wanted me to go back home, but I like having my own place.
Oh, yes, yes. So do I. I've got my own home, left to me by my Auntie Ada. I expect you knew her.
Yes, I did. I liked her very much.
You did?
Yes. But most around here didn't really understand her.
Well, she was a bit of an eccentric.
Yes.
You haven't touched your tea.
Oh, thank you. Were you married long? Well, if you don't mind me asking.
10 months. But we've known each other ever since we were tots. I never liked him much in those days. He was always calling to me to go out to play, and I used to dread him knocking at the front door. But when I came home from college, he seemed a different person, as if I'd never known him at all. And when he asked me to marry him, I said yes, without even stopping to think about it. It seemed so right, so natural. I think you're so much cleverer than all the girls you went to school with. Ridiculous, isn't it, my telling you all this, a total stranger?
Oh, I don't mind.
Everyone here is so proud of me, how well I've done, how clever I am. Put me on a pedestal. I owe them something, don't I? For the pride they had in me. Can't let them down, can I? You think that's silly, I expect.
Oh, no, no.
Can I tell you something else? Something I've never told anyone.
Well, if you like, I don't mind. It won't go no further.
Yes, I know that. There's something about you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you like this. You see, the day he died, I decided to walk to work with him. Along the lines to the signal box. I'm sorry, the biscuits are here and I haven't offered them.
Oh, thanks.
There goes Greta Garbo again. Pity she doesn't know another tune. I got seasick listening to that one this afternoon. Ambrose, stop sniveling.
I hope she's giving him a good telling off. That's what I hope.
It may not have been necessary.
How do you mean?
We're all brave soldiers until we get to the front. This teacher of yours. Quite young, then?
She's not a starched rose like Tom thinks she is.
Yes. Well, I expect Tom's realized that by now. Ah, well, we soon know who won the battle. So, was she in?
Yes, she was in.
And what did she say when you told her you didn't want charity?
Ambrose?
Yes.
Your sandals.
My sandals? You mean you didn't give them back to her?
No, I changed my mind.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Oh, thanks. Can I put them on?
That's what they're for, isn't it? To wear?
Oh, great.
Changed your mind, huh? What made you change it?
You were right, Grandpa. I've had a bad day and I was taking it out on Ambrose.
But you did speak to the old starched drawers, did you?
Yes, I spoke to her.
Tom? Can we afford some brown polish to clean them?
No, we can't.
Leave them by the stairs when you go to bed and I'll give them a do with the mansion polish.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Well, the wind certainly has changed.
She's a widow. Her husband's dead.
Aye. He would be if she's a widow.
Left her with 2 walls still to be papered.
Oh, aye.
But, I'm going out.
It's tea time.
Shall be 5 minutes.
We got flour. If it's flour paste you're making,
mind your own business, will you?
He's going to paper those 2 walls for your teacher. Tell me, Ambrose, how long has your husband been dead?
I don't know. All I know is he had his head chopped off by the 1245 to Bryn Howell.
Good God. Signal Street, they call this. More like Death Crescent. Ambrose, listen to me. You and me have got to look out for Tom.
Look out for him?
Young widows, especially pretty ones, don't stay young widows for long. And what would happen to us if Tom was to marry this teacher of yours, huh? This is Tom's house. She'll soon make it hers. And we'll be out on the streets. Don't look so serious, boy. It's not going to happen. As I said just now, it's a matter of us looking out for Tom. He looks after us, so we've got to look after him. Understand?
I think so. No, I don't. How do we look after him?
For the moment, keep an eye on him, that's all. And on her. I'm a teacher.
What? Follow her about, you mean?
Not exactly follow, no.
What then?
Well, if you think it might be necessary, you could walk in the same direction.
To spy on her meeting Tom, you mean?
Yeah, keep your voice down. Not spying, no. Just, well, seeing enough to let me know what's going on, so we can spike the guns before they've had a chance to fire.
How will we do that?
One step at a time, huh? For the moment, keep your eyes open, that's all.
Yes, Grandpa.
Morgan, and this is my father's orchard.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know it was private.
What do you mean you didn't know? You must have come through the barbed wire.
Did I? Oh, yes, I expect I did then.
That Miss Jones just went past. Are you following her?
Following her? No, I wasn't following her.
Well, then why were you creeping along like that, hiding in the long grass?
I was playing. Indians.
You're not a very good liar, are you? Why are you following Miss Jones? Is she your teacher? Do you go to the Morganstown School? What's your name, then? Stubborn little devil, aren't you? What's your name?
What should I tell you?
Because you're trespassing, that's why.
Not hurting anything. Just flattened a bit of grass, that's all. Here, let go of my arm.
How old are you?
10. Well, next birthday I am.
You're big for 10.
I'm strong too.
I'm 12 and stronger.
Let go of my arm.
Have you followed her all the way from where she lives?
Mind your own business.
Why are you following her?
I told you, I'm playing Indians.
Your nose needs wiping.
Let me go and I'll wipe it.
Use your other hand.
Let me go, will you? And get your foot off my sandal. They're new.
Well, nearly. If you don't tell me why you're following Amy Jones...
How do you know her, anyway?
Stop struggling. If you don't, I'll sit on you.
Just try.
Right, I will.
Get off me. Get off me, will you?
You're my prisoner now. And serves you right for struggling.
Oh, get off. Oh, get off.
Oh, crybaby, are you? Tell your mother when you get home, is it?
Got no mother to tell. She's dead. Oh, let me get up.
Promise you won't run off.
Oh, I've got to catch up with Miss Jones.
So you were following her?
Going in the same direction, that's all.
Why are you following her?
That's my business.
I could sit on you till it gets dark. Then you wouldn't be able to find your way home. So, you're going to tell me why you were following her? If you haven't got a mother, who sewed up this hole in your pullover?
My brother.
Well, he made a rotten job of it. It's all come undone. You better let me do it for you. I can sew. I do all the sewing in our house. Tell you what. If I let you go, will you promise to come back here tomorrow?
Come back? What do I want to come back here for?
We could be friends.
Don't be soft. Boys don't have girls for friends.
Well, nobody need know. It'd be a secret.
I don't think I want you for a friend.
Why not?
For one thing, you're too heavy.
I shan't let you get up till you promise to come back here tomorrow. And I'll tell you where Miss Jones was going. You wanted to know, didn't you? Isn't that why you were following her?
I don't need you to tell me. I can find out myself.
It's too late now. You'll never catch her up.
What do you want me for a friend for?
I've got no one else. We're miles from everywhere here.
I suppose you go to a Toffee-nose school.
A private school, yes. St. Catherine's.
Do you have pocket money?
Of course I do. Why, don't you?
I'd never heard of it till today. Boys in my class have it. No one had it where I come from. Sometimes you've got a halfpenny to spend, but not very often with everyone on the door.
I tell you what, be my friend and you can share my pocket money. Well, what do you say to that?
You mean it?
I never say anything I don't mean. Well?
Right then. We're friends.
And you'll come tomorrow at the same time?
Yeah.
Right. You can get up now. See you tomorrow then.
Yeah.
You can kiss my hand in farewell if you like.
No thanks.
They are a bit inky. I've been doing my homework. Goodbye then. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Victoria?
Yes?
How much pocket money do you get?
A shilling a week.
A tonner for her and a tonner for you. What's she giving you money for?
To be her friend.
How old is this girl?
12. But she weighs a 10.
How do you know?
I told you. She was sitting on me.
What about Miss Jones? Where was she going?
I don't know. I lost her because of this girl.
10 to 1, Tom was meeting her. He went off all secretive-like. Said he was off into the fields for a read.
Tom reading?
A book from the library, Oliver Twist. What do you want that for, I said. He went all hoity-toity. Some people read the Sensational Sundays, he said. Others like something a bit better. It's her, see. Trying to improve himself. Now, tell me about this girl. What did she say?
She said, if I go back tomorrow, she'll tell me where Miss Jones was going.
Did she know? Why is she making such a great mystery of it, I wonder?
Hello! Look, the fireman's waving to you. Ah, I like watching trains go by. That's why I took a walk down here. Is this anywhere near the place where...
No, it isn't.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have. It's a nice day for a bit of a walk. I like walking, when I'm not reading. Oliver Twist had a hell of a life. Well, we think times are bad now, but what that poor boy went through, well...
If you'll excuse me.
Oh, sorry, it's stupid of me. I'm talking away here, and you... I understand how it is.
Goodbye.
Oh, well, I don't suppose... What I mean is, I've read all Charles Dickens now, or very near. And you, being a school teacher, perhaps you could recommend another
I'm
author.
Not reading much these days. You might try Portrait in a Mirror.
Oh, thanks. They'll have it in the library, I expect. Who's it by?
Charles Morgan.
Portrait in a Mirror by Charles Morgan. Perhaps I better jot that down. I always carry a pencil. You never know, do you? Oh, I don't suppose you've got a cigarette packet. I could just tear a piece off. And...
I don't smoke.
Oh, no, of course not. Nor me. But I used to, but, I had to pack it in. Money being short. More important things to buy with the bit they give you. I'll leave you in peace then. Well, you need a bit of peace, of course, after the racket those kids make in school all day. Well, bye then.
Mr. Stark?
Yes?
You can borrow mine if you like.
Borrow?
Portrait in a Mirror.
Oh, thank you. Could I call for it on my way back?
Yes, of course. Cheek.
A fight in school, that's all.
What about?
I talk a bit different. They have a laugh at me. I thought I'd give them what for.
They gave me what for instead?
The bullies.
I wish I'd been there. I'd have shown them.
I don't want girls looking after me, thanks very much.
Your poor cheek. Here, let me kiss it
better, thanks.
Oh, come on, only a little one.
You're mad about kissing, you are. Want to kiss my hand, now my cheek?
Well, you're nice. You've got a nice face. Not rough like most boys.
Look, if we're going to be friends, you'll have to cut all that out.
Well, listen to him, bossy. A man all of a sudden. I've a good mind to sit on you again just to put you in your
Get
place.
Get off. You were going to tell me where Miss Jones was off last night.
Oh, yes, I was, wasn't I? Every cloud must have a silver lining. Do you like that song?
Not much.
My father hates it. He says I've got it on the brain. My mother was always singing it.
Where was Miss Jones going last night?
If I tell you, you'll run off home and never come back again, won't you?
You promised to tell me. You promised.
And you said you'd be my friend.
I am your friend.
You don't look much like it.
And you don't sound much like it.
What do you mean?
Like you're trying to get my temper going.
All right, then. Let's be proper friends. Best friends. Here. Hold my hand. Go on. They won't bite you. Gosh, aren't yours hot? Do mine feel nice and cool?
What about Miss Jones? Where was she going?
Can you hear my chest? It's like an accordion, my father says. He used to think I was putting it on. Anything to get out of school, he used to say. It's funny, isn't it?
What is?
Both not having mothers.
What? Is yours dead too?
She's on what my father calls an extended holiday.
Where? Barry Island?
She's gone for good. But my father thinks I don't understand. You should have heard it last summer.
What?
My chest. I couldn't go back to school. So my father got Miss Jones to give me lessons twice a week. That's when it started.
What started?
The adultery.
What's that?
Rubbing together in windfalls. Come on, I'll show you where.
What?
This is the place. It used to be just mine. But they don't know that. I used to call it my cozy place. You could hide here and no one could see you. Not even if they were this close to you. I was in bed with my chest. And Miss Jones had just left the house to go home. Mummy was at another committee meeting in the town and Father was walking Rex. Or so I thought. So I popped down to the summer house for Robin. He's a doll, a sailor doll. I was just coming back with him when I saw them together.
Who?
My father and Miss Jones, stupid.
Oh.
Have you ever seen adultery?
No. Well, I don't think so.
I don't think my mother had either, the fuss she made. The next morning, she was gone. My father said she was very tired and was taking a holiday. Then, when she didn't come back from the holiday, he said she'd decided not to live with us anymore. He didn't tell me it was her fault, Miss Jones's. But it is.
So is this where she was going last night?
Oh, no. She goes into the house since my mother left. They're like mice when I'm around, staring at books and not reading them. Then, as soon as I'm gone, they're whispering and holding hands. Do you know what a lover is?
Yeah.
What?
Rudolph Valentino.
Don't be soft. Sit down and I'll tell you.
No, thanks. I'll have a clout off Tom if I get a mess on my trousers.
There's no mess here. It's nice, clean grass, and you need a sit down after running all that way. That's right. Come a bit closer, then.
What for?
Well, I can't do it from there, can I?
Do what? What's that?
What's he look like, silly? A needle and some wool. The same colour as your pullover. Well, you might say thanks. Or how clever I am at remembering colours. Keep still. You have a needle in your chest. Now what's the matter?
You smell.
It's my mother's. A bottle she left behind. I pinched it before my father got rid of it. What are you making that face for?
That scent. It's horrible.
It It's not horrible. It's very expensive. It's called Soie de Paris.
What a stink.
Oh, keep still, will you?
Oh, how much longer are you going to be?
Don't be so ungrateful. 2 minutes and it'll be done. Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue. All your fears are foolish fancies, baby. Don't you know that I'm in love with you? Fancy you being 10 and don't know what a lover is.
I don't want to know, thanks.
Why not?
Look, I came here to climb trees, not to play mothers and fathers or any of the daft girls' games.
There. All damp.
Kate! What are you doing?
Well, I haven't got scissors, have I? So I've got to snap the wall with my teeth. You must remember your mother doing that, don't you?
There. All finished.
Well, what about a thank you?
Thank you. I think I'd better be going now.
Not yet. You've only just got here.
Grandpa will be wondering where I am.
You haven't told me yet why you were following Miss Jones.
No reason.
Liar. Oh, here's the sixpence I promised you. Half my pocket money. Well, go on, take it.
A whole sixpence?
Your face. Haven't you ever seen a sixpence before?
Not all my own. It's 12 halfpennies.
Do you remember her?
Who?
Your mother, silly.
Of course I do.
Mine's the best in the world. And I miss her. I miss her terribly. I'd do anything to get her back. Do you know what I do in bed every night before I go to sleep?
What?
I get Miss Jones in our big bath and hold her under till no more bubbles come up. I hate my father, too, for making my mother leave us.
I wonder what the time is.
Well, you mustn't go yet.
It'll be dark soon.
Before I've told you what lovers do.
I don't want to know what they do.
Why not? We could be lovers.
You are loopy, you are.
We are sort of already. Meeting in secret, I mean.
Look, I'm off, I am.
Oh, not yet, please.
Oh, I got to.
Oh, all right, then. But not without this to go off with.
Get away from me, will you?
Touching lips, that's all.
No, get away, I said. Get away.
Oh, come back. Come back. You'll be sorry. You will. You will. You will.
I'll make
you sorry.
Go home and tell your mother that she certainly did a wonderful
Daddy!
Job.
Daddy! Daddy! Daddy, I want
Victoria?
You!
I
want
Victoria?
You!
Victoria! What is it? What's happened?
Daddy! Oh, Daddy!
What are you doing? I thought you were in the house.
No, just sitting in the cozy place. Just there.
Oh, my poor darling. Now, come along indoors.
There was a boy here.
A boy? What boy?
I don't know. I've never seen him before. He made me give him sixpence.
Give him sixpence? What for?
He said he'd be nice if I gave him sixpence. But he wasn't nice at all. He was horrible. And he wanted to do horrible things to me.
What sort of things? Victoria, listen to me. What sort of things did he want to do?
Don't ask me, please. Please don't ask me. Promise you won't ask me.
Very well. Let's go into the house. Now, come along.
You mustn't ask me because it's all too horrible to even think about.
All right.
So you won't ask me, will you?
Come along.
You won't. Please say you won't ask me, Daddy. Promise.
Here we are. Portrait in a mirror.
Oh, thank you. I'll only keep it a couple of days. I'm a very quick reader.
Oh, there's no hurry.
You finished it, then?
No, but I was in the middle of it when...
Oh, I see. I was just admiring the clock.
His mother gave it to us, a wedding present.
Mahogany?
Yes.
We had a fine clock like that. Had to sell it. Well, I had to sell quite a bit, in fact, but, there we are. Things will be a lot better when I get my start on the Great Western.
Have you had your interview yet?
No, not yet, but I've got my name down. On the bottom of the list somewhere, of course. So I'll have to wait some time, I reckon. I don't remember it ticking last time I was here.
No, that's right. I hadn't wound it since Raymond died. I wound it for the first time just this morning.
Oh, I was thinking, if you want someone to paper the other two walls, well, I haven't got all that much to do till I find a job, that is.
That's very kind of you.
So, it's just a matter of you saying when.
Thank you.
Well, I'll be getting along then. Thanks again for the book.
I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure I will. It's a fine photo, that. Your family must have been very proud. GWR.
Sorry?
A signalman. Very important job, that. Standing in the community.
Shall I tell you something? Something I haven't told anyone.
Well, what's that?
Raymond wasn't a proper husband to me. Do you understand?
Well, I might do. You're saying, well, that...
Not once in all the 10 months of our marriage did he love me as a husband should love his wife.
Well, did you see her?
Who?
The girl.
Oh, her. Yes, I saw her. She gave me the sixpence.
What? Just like that?
She don't care about money.
Did she tell you about Miss Jones?
Yeah, she did.
Well, out with it, boy. Where was she going last night?
To give the girl a lesson.
A lesson?
The girl has a bare chest and home from school a lot. So her father paid Miss Jones to give her lessons at home.
All right, quiet, please. I want you all to listen very carefully. You all know Mr. V.G. Morgan's house. Well, if any boy was in the vicinity, anywhere near, that is, anywhere near Mr. V.G. Morgan's home yesterday afternoon after school, I want him to come to my study when this assembly is over. Did you hear that at the back? Hand up anyone who did not hear it, please.
And did you go to see the headmaster?
No, I didn't.
Why not? If you were guilty, why didn't you own up?
He's not guilty, boy. He hasn't done anything.
Grandpa, please, will you kindly leave this to me?
But whatever crime has been committed, if Ambrose owns up to being there 2 days running, he'll get the blame for it.
2 days running? Ambrose said nothing about going to the damn man's orchard 2 days running. You were there the day before as well, then?
Well, yes, Tom.
And how did you come to be there that time? Chasing the same butterfly again, I suppose, and suddenly finding yourself the other side of the barbed wire fence. What were you doing in a man's orchard? Well? Look, you must have done something to prompt this V.Z. Morgan to go to the headmaster to ask him for the culprit to come forward. Did you smash any glass? Slash the tops of any flowers?
Well, boy, he doesn't do that sort of thing. You know he doesn't.
Grandpa, for the last time, will you leave this to me, please?
No, I won't. You're always coming down on the poor boy for something or other.
Yeah, because he's always up to something or other.
He confessed to you, didn't he? He could have kept his mouth shut and said nothing at all, and nobody would have been any the wiser. But he didn't. He's come home here and told you.
Yes, he has. Because he hasn't got the guts to go to the headmaster as he was told to do.
Would you have gone when you were 9 years old?
If I was as innocent as Ambrose says he is, and I had nothing to fear, yes.
Oh, for heaven's sake, let's forget it. There's no great harm being done, there can't have been. Let's get on with our tea. No one's eaten a mouthful yet.
Ambrose, stop fiddling with the tablecloth and answer me. Now, what did you do in a damned man's orchard?
I had a sit-down, that's all.
A sit-down? You went 3 miles just for a sit-down.
Well, she said it was clean, so I wouldn't get my trousers dirty.
Who is she?
Victoria. She lives there.
And why haven't you mentioned her before this?
Well, perhaps it's her fault.
Her fault? What do you mean, her fault?
She might be getting her own back, saying I smashed something or done something wrong. I don't know.
And why should she do that?
Because I wouldn't be a lover.
Speak up, please.
Because I wouldn't be a lover.
Do you realize what you're saying, boy? Tell me about this girl. How did you meet her?
She jumped out on me and sat on my stomach, and it was hurting like anything. Then, yesterday, she took me to a cozy place and gave me sixpence.
Gave you sixpence? Why did she give you sixpence?
Because she gets a shilling pocket money, and I don't get none at all.
And what happened after she gave you the sixpence? Ambrose?
She said Miss Jones was a teacher.
Well, is this Victoria in your class, then?
No, no. She talks all swanky and goes to St. Catherine's. But she gets a bar chest, and Miss Jones goes there to give her lessons.
I see. And has Miss Jones got something to do with your being there in the orchard 2 days running?
No.
Look, it's no use, Ambrose. I know when you're lying. Now, I'll ask you again.
Don't blame the boy. It was my fault.
Your fault? And what are you talking about?
He ended up in the orchard because he followed Miss Jones there. I asked Ambrose, well, to keep an eye on her.
You asked him to?
Yes.
Why?
I told Ambrose there'd be a poor lookout for him and me if you married the woman.
Well, what thing to put in the boy's head? You should be ashamed of yourself. All right. Now, let's get our brains to work now. What we want to know is why the headmaster wants Ambrose to come forward. Any suggestions, Ambrose?
I got no idea, honest.
No idea, eh? Now, a moment ago, you said you thought the girl might be getting her own back because you wouldn't... Well, you wouldn't do whatever, you know, she wanted to do. What was it she wanted to do?
Touch lips.
Speak up.
Touch lips.
I see. And what did you do?
And run off home.
Now, that's the truth?
Oh, yes.
There, you see. The boy's done nothing at all. But if he goes owning up, God knows what he might be accused of. All manner of things someone else has done. So it's best to lie low. Keep a mouth shut.
Look, that's enough. That's no way to bring the boy up, and you know it. Teaching him to lie and hide behind others.
He's not lying.
He's lying by the very fact of his not owning up that he was there. Right. Ambrose?
Yes, Tom?
Stop looking like Joan of Arc and go and wash your face and comb your hair.
What for?
We are going to call on Mr. V.Z. Morgan.
Well, Mr. Stark, what's your business? Why have you come to see me?
It's about my brother here.
Yes.
He says the headmaster of his school wanted any boy who was in this area yesterday afternoon to report to him. Ambrose was in the area. In your orchard, in fact. He was trespassing, and I've ticked him off about that. But he says he didn't do any damage to your property or cause any harm to anyone. However, he was in the wrong to be in your orchard. I thought it only proper to bring him along to find out what this was all about.
I see. So the boy hasn't mentioned the incident involving my daughter?
Well, if you mean when your daughter jumped out on him and pushed him to the ground and sat on him...
Ah, so that's his version of what's happened, is it? You dirty little... If I were your father, I'd take my belt to you. Where is the boy's father, anyway? He didn't have the courage to face me, I take it.
The boy has no father. Our father died in a pit explosion 3 years ago. But if he'd been spared, he'd have done just what I'm doing tonight. Brought the boy here to face the music. What music there is to be faced, that is. I've still no idea what he's supposed to have done.
He assaulted my daughter in a most disgusting fashion.
No, I didn't.
Ambrose, is this true?
I never touched her.
The boy's lying.
I don't think so, Mr. V.Z. Morgan.
Your brother made disgusting advances, using lewd words and putting his hands on parts of her body.
I didn't touch her.
If you could have seen my daughter last night, the state that she was in.
I didn't.
Ambrose. Blow your nose, boy. Mr. Vesey Morgan. I take it you've informed the police about this matter.
Informed the police? Of course I haven't informed the police.
Why not?
Because... Oh, damn it, my daughter's in a fearful enough state already. Besides, what evidence is there? Apart from my daughter's account of what happened.
Exactly.
Are you suggesting that my daughter invented the incident? How could a child possibly invent such filthy, disgusting... The boy is plainly guilty. Just look at him. Admit it, you dirty little...
That's enough, Miss Morgan. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to hear whatever Ambrose is supposed to have done from... Your daughter herself.
That's out of the question.
Why?
The state the poor girl is in, I couldn't possibly subject her to such an ordeal.
Then how are we to get to the truth of what happened?
I know the truth of it. I heard it from my daughter's own lips.
Very well. There's only one thing for it. Now, you've got to tell Mr. Vesey Morgan everything. Just as you told it to me.
Everything?
Yeah, everything. Now, look, there's nothing to be afraid of. Just tell him. Just tell him the truth. What's the matter?
I can't tell everything.
What's that? Don't speak up.
I said I can't tell everything.
You see, I told you he was guilty.
Mr. Morgan, please. Now, let's give the boy a chance. Ambrose, what do you mean you can't tell everything?
Oh, please don't make me.
Are you saying that there's something you haven't told me?
Oh, please, Tom.
What is it? Look, out with it. Speak, will you?
It's about Miss Jones.
Miss Jones? Right. Well, what was it you didn't tell me about Miss Jones?
Well, you might not like her anymore.
Look, never mind what I like and don't like. It's the truth we're after. Well?
Victoria said that when the lessons were over, her father and Miss Jones were meeting in the cosy place in the orchard, rubbing together in the windfalls. Look.
Go on.
She asked me what a lover was. I said it was Rudolph Valentino. She said that was only pretend, and I could be a real lover. She had her mother's scent on, and her hands were nice and cool. And she gave me sixpence. And she said she'd like to get Miss Jones in the big bath and hold her under till no more bubbles come up. She hated her father, too, for making her mother go away. Then she said, put lips to lips, and I ran away. But I like her, I do, and I don't want her to get into any trouble.
Rose, go into the hall. Wait for me now.
I owe you an apology, Mr. Stark. I hope you will accept it.
Of course.
Thank you. I don't know what else to say at this moment. I feel very ashamed. And very stupid. For not knowing my own daughter better than I do. And for being completely taken in by her. I still can't believe that she could make up a story like that. Or twist it around, rather, to suit her own ends. Whatever they were.
Well, I'll be getting along.
Mr. Stark, before you go, look, I'd be most grateful to you if you could forget this whole unfortunate business. What I mean is...
Say nothing to anyone. I quite understand your anxiety, Mr. Vesey Morgan.
And I can rely on you to keep it to yourself?
Yes, you can.
And your brother?
He's a fine young lad.
Yes. I've just had evidence of that.
If I tell him to keep his mouth shut, he'll do just that.
I'm most grateful to you, Mr. Stark. Most grateful indeed. And again, I apologize most profusely for all the trouble and embarrassment that you suffered.
Good evening, Mr. Vesey Morgan.
One moment, please.
Your face is familiar. Are you on the Great Western?
No, I'm not.
Ah, I thought I might have seen you at the running sheds. I'm shedmaster there. What is it?
For 2 months now, I've been sweating. I'm getting a start as an engine cleaner. I've been told the first step was getting to see you.
Oh, it's not essential.
Anyway, you've become a kind of god that I have to get to see one way or another. Seems I've succeeded at last. Good night, Mr. Beasley.
Victoria?
Daddy. Who was that at the front door?
The boy who attacked you. His brother brought him here to see me. You lied to me, didn't you?
Yes, Daddy, I did.
You lied quite dreadfully. You could have got that poor boy into serious trouble. Do you understand that?
I'm sorry, Daddy. I am. I've been lying here thinking about nothing else. Nothing but how dreadful a lie it all was. Honestly, Daddy, honestly.
It's all right. Don't upset yourself. I know how ill and weak you are, so I'm not going to ask you why you told me such a dreadful lie.
Oh, but I want you to ask me, Daddy. I want you to ask me.
Victoria.
I want you to know how much I hate her, and I want you to hate her too.
Victoria, calm yourself.
Oh, I don't want to be calm. I want my mommy back. That's all I want. It's her fault mommy left us. If you hate her and send her away, mommy will come back to us.
I'm afraid it's not as simple as that.
It is. She'll come back to us. I know she will.
Victoria.
But you don't want Mummy back, do you?
Victoria.
Victoria, Victoria. You don't speak my name like you speak hers out there in the cozy place. Amy, Amy, my love. Amy, my sweet one.
Victoria, stop this nonsense.
I'm just a nuisance because I'm ill all the time.
Don't be ridiculous.
You'd like me out of the way too, wouldn't you?
Oh, Victoria, stop it. This instant.
I hate Miss Jones. I hate her. I hate her. I hate her.
So poor Miss Jones is the victim of an unhappy marriage, is she? And she's been meeting this V.C. Morgan in secret. And now we're supposed to feel sympathy for her, are we?
The girl has had a bad time.
You know what you are, don't you?
Look, I don't want your bitter old man's opinions, thank you very much.
You're infatuated.
You shouldn't say words like that until you get those teeth of yours fixed. Hey, did you say you'd iron this shirt? Look at the creases in the tail.
No one's going to see the tail, are they? I hope. Where are you off tonight, anyway?
That's my business.
See this in last Sunday's? The judge said the man was infatuated and had hung himself in the WC.
Well, I shouldn't go worrying over me. The ceiling's so low in ours, I can hardly stand up, let alone do anything else.
The Sunday papers are full of you, Miss Jones.
Watch your words, please.
Come to your senses, boy.
Look, I'll have nothing said against her.
Plain as a pikestaff, isn't it? We've read about women like that. She probably infatuated her husband to stick his head in front of that express.
Look, their marriage was a mistake. He was an unhappy man, and he was making her unhappy. Ending his life like that was the best thing that could have happened for both of them.
Well, I should forget that flower paste if I was you.
I said I'd paper those other walls for her, and I won't go back on my promise.
As long as that's all you've got in mind.
What are you suggesting?
Steady on. No need to fly off the handle. I'm asking because I know that everything you do is right and proper. And as far as a woman's concerned, what is right and proper means one thing only. Marriage.
I might have that in mind, yes.
Mark my words, boy. They're going to find your head rolling along the sleepers.
I know what you've got against her. You think that you might have to go into a home. Look, put that pipe back, will you? You're blowing sparks all over the best tablecloth.
There was a case just like yours. They found him in the canal with an article of her intimate clothing clutched in his drowned hands.
Ha!
I seen you, Miss Jones, in the corner shop buying fancy cakes. As she left the shop, I saw all the men turn around and stare after her. I'm telling you, there's certain women that create havoc with men's lives. There was one in Ponty, Teddy Richards, her name was, who lived at the top of our street. And there wasn't a man in Ponty, young or old, or in a wheelchair, who didn't have eyes for Hetty Richards.
And what happened to her?
Nothing. Nothing bad, that is. The bad things happened to all the men who got tangled up with her. Hetty sailed smoothly through life, like a ship with black sails.
Black sails?
In mourning for the wreck she left in her wake. I asked Hetty Richards to marry me.
Oh, aye. Oh, now it's all coming out.
I was mad about her, even for years after.
Years after what?
She married my best pal.
And what happened to him?
Nothing. The bad luck seemed to have run out by then. We were happy enough and had 5 children. He was on the Great Western, ended up a driver.
Ah.
What? Ah.
Ah, so that's why you hate railwaymen so much, eh? Mr. T. Stark.
Who's it from?
Well. Well, I never. Look at that.
Where's my glasses, Ambrose?
It's from Mr. V.Z. Morgan. An interview with him on Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
He's given you a start.
An interview, it says.
Well, he has to give you an interview for the look of things. You'll get a start, bound to. Can't fail your medical. You're as fit as a newt. Your eyesight's perfect. What's the matter?
I can't go to that interview.
Can't go?
Oh, of course I can't. I've kept my mouth shut about all that business with his daughter, and now I get this as my reward.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, everything.
God, you deserve a reward. I mean, if that affair with him and Miss George was to get round...
Oh, go on, keep going. Make me feel more like a blackmailer than ever. That's just what I need right now, of course.
God in heaven. You're about the most exasperating grandson a man ever had. You've been fretting away for months on end over getting a start on the Great Western, and now the chance falls into your lap, and you turn it down.
Mind that flower paste, will you? You'll have it all over the floor in a minute.
You've got to go to this interview. You've got to. You'll have a job for life, as you say, and self-respect.
Self-respect? Living my life knowing I've got where I am through blackmail?
Oh, for heaven's sake, see reason, boy.
Look, excuse me, I'm going out.
Tom, listen to me. All right, I know I'm an old fool, but I beg of you to listen just this once. Forget your scruples and go along to that interview. If you don't, you could regret it for the rest of your life.
Sorry, Grandpa, but I can't do it. Look, you better know this now, because I've set my mind on it. It won't be for a while yet, of course, because, well, it wouldn't be proper. But, Grandpa... Ambrose, I am going to ask Miss Jones to marry me.
Claw!
You see, she's the kind of young woman I've always had in mind, but I never thought I would meet. Well, the day I went to her house to take those sandals...
Those flaming sandals? I wish I'd never seen them.
I knew then that she was the one, and there'd never be another one like her. So, I'm going up to V.Z. Morgan's house tomorrow night.
What for?
To tell him my intentions regarding Miss Jones. And that he's got to stop taking advantage of her.
Well, I have to say, when you do something, you don't do it by half measures, do you? And if he refuses to stop taking advantage of Miss Jones?
He won't be in any state to refuse by the time I've finished with him.
Yes. Well, now I see why you can't go to that interview with him on Tuesday.
Oh. Oh, I see. Do you happen to know where she is?
Yes, I just passed her.
Where was that?
Robert Street. Funny she looks.
Oh, funny? How do you mean funny?
Afternoon, Miss Jones, I said. But she didn't say nothing. And ever so white she was.
Robert Street, you said?
Other side off. On the way down to the railway line.
Oh, thanks.
me alone.
I called at your house to do the wallpapering. They said he'd seen you, so I came looking. It's a good job I did. Let me take you.
Let go of my arm, please.
No harm in leaning on it.
Let go of me, please.
Are you going home?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, I'm going home too, so we might
but
as well...
I'd sooner walk on my own, thank you. And in any case, the last person I want to see right now is you.
Oh, I see.
Thank you for saving my life. Is that what you want me to say? Did you really think I was going to throw myself under that... Oh, get out of my sight.
Look, I'm sorry, but...
Will you stop interfering in my life? Haven't you done enough already?
Done enough? What have I done?
I just come from seeing Lawrence.
Who's Lawrence? Oh, you mean Lucy Morgan?
Why didn't you tell me what happened between Ambrose and Victoria?
I'm sorry, I didn't think it affected you.
Didn't think it affected me? Well, I love him. I love him so much. And now he's told me it's all over. It can't go on because of her. Her happiness is more important to him than I am. You made that clear to him.
I made it clear to him?
Yes, by your behavior the night you took Ambrose up there. You brought home to him the way he's been neglecting Victoria. Oh, you should hear the things he said about you, his admiration for you. But you can hardly blame me for not sharing it.
Look, I understand how you feel about Mr. V.Z. Morgan. Well, giving you up. But it's a bit unfair to blame me, isn't it?
Oh, go away from me, will you? Go away.
There was nothing else I could do but to take Ambrose up there that day to find out what happened between him and the girl in the orchard.
I don't want your excuses, thank you.
One of your heels is coming.
Oh, damn the heel. If I had thrown myself in front of that train just now, you'd had my death on your conscience. No wonder you were so desperate to save me. And let go of my arm.
Look.
Let go.
Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, God, no, it's battle to rain. Over here. Come on now. Come under this tree. There. Come on. I'm sorry. Now, where was I?
In the process, I imagine, of shifting the blame onto your young brother.
I was doing nothing of the kind.
Tell me something, will you?
Yes, what is it?
How did Ambrose come to be in Lawrence's orchard in the first place?
He was following you.
I thought he must have been, but I couldn't think of a possible reason why.
He was keeping an eye on you, in order to... How can I put it? In order to look after me.
Ambrose was looking after you.
Well, it's like this, Grandpa thinks pretty widows can't wait to marry again.
Oh, God, can't you tell me in plain English?
Well, I think Ambrose thought you might have been on your way to meet me.
To meet you?
I must have somehow or other given them the impression that I was keen on you. Look, we can't stay here any longer. We'd better make a run for it. Oh, here. Take my jacket.
No, thank you.
Yeah, but you must. Look, you've only got that thin dress on now. Now, no, not just around you. Come on, put your arms in. Put your arms in the sleeves.
Go and heel missing so I can't run too quickly.
Yeah, hold my arm.
I don't think I need to.
Right, then I'll hold yours. Now, are you ready to make a dash for it?
God, what on earth do I look like?
Awful. But at least you're alive. Come on, off we go.
Oh, it was flower paste. Now it's a bucket of sticky rainwater.
Jacket's soaked, I'm afraid. And you better take your pullover off.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry I was so horrid to you down there.
What's a few angry words?
I'll put the kettle on. A cup of tea will warm us up.
Oh, look, let me do something. Where's the teapot kept?
There isn't one. I make it in this jug.
Oh.
The teapot was a wedding present. I got rid of them all. I had to keep the clock, of course. That was from Raymond's mother.
Can I fetch a towel for you?
Oh, stop looking after me, will you? How old are you?
20.
I thought you were older.
I suppose I've had to be.
Raymond was 22. He's in so many ways still a child.
Do you want these flowers put in water?
Lawrence gave them to me.
They must have cost a bit.
A farewell gift. Gave me flowers once before. I was going to do it. I really was.
Yeah. Here, you're shivering. The shock and then getting soaked. Put something else on.
Oh, leave me alone, will you? You've saved my life. Just leave it at that. Oh, that damn clock. Raymond used to wind it every morning after breakfast. As long as that clock is here, Raymond is here. It's God's way of making sure I can't turn my back on my guilt. Why did you have to come down there this afternoon? Why couldn't you have let me go the same way as Raymond? What else can I do? You can't wipe out a marriage. You can't. Even though it was no marriage at all. I used to lie in bed and cry, don't ask me why. I don't think he even knew himself. First, I was just plain bewildered. Then sympathetic. And then I used to get angry. I used to taunt him. I used to cover his ears like a child, shutting out what he doesn't want to hear. But all the time, I think he did want to hear. He wanted the taunt. Needed them somehow. Oh, I don't know. It's all so farcical when you tell it like this. What are you doing?
Stopping the pendulum.
Thank you.
You could offer it back to his mother, I suppose.
She thinks I cherish it as he used to.
Oh.
There's no escape. Not that I want to escape. I must be made to suffer.
Why?
Because I'm guilty. I'm responsible for Raymond taking his life. It was because of Lawrence and me that Raymond did away with himself. If it wasn't for me telling him when I did, he'd still be living and breathing. I walked part of the way to the signal box with Raymond that day.
Yes, you said.
Well, I've never done that before. He was so happy about it. Like a little boy being taken out for the day as a treat. Oh, the kettle's boiling.
I make it. You sit there.
Where's the tea?
On the second shelf. I am here, aren't I?
What? Yes. Yes, you're here right enough.
You're so strange.
Well, no wonder. After what you've just been through. Look, if you took my advice, you'd let it all come flooding out. You'll feel much better for it. I know.
I haven't shed a tear since it happened. Not a single one. My mother was ashamed because I didn't cry at the funeral. What would everyone think? I still have to keep up the pretense of how happy we were together. Even though everyone knows he's lying there in his coffin, with his head all askew.
Go on. Let it all come out.
No. I won't.
Oh, I see. Think you'll suffer more by holding it back, is that it?
Oh, why don't you just take your wet jacket and go home?
How many sugars?
I don't want you looking after me. I'm not a child. Oh, God, when I think how we used to mock him when we were kids. He was thin and funny-looking. His parents were poor, so he always wore those cut-down trousers of his father's that made him...
I'll put two big spoonfuls in. They say sugar's good when you've had a bit of a shock.
I thought he'd fly into a rage when I told him about Lawrence and me. I hoped he'd hit me again and again. I wanted him to punish me. But he didn't do anything like that. He didn't even speak. He just stood there as if he were made of wood. How could he have been so shocked? He'd have thought it would have been just what he'd have expected. Oh, damn nonsense flowers. They're going in the dustbin.
No, don't do that.
Fancy giving someone flowers and then telling them it's all over between you. Finished. What did he expect me to say? My heart's broken, but thanks for the flowers.
It's a shame to waste them all the same. We could take them down to the cemetery later on.
Oh, no, thank you.
This tap needs a new washer. I'll get one tomorrow.
I haven't been there since the funeral. Disgraceful, my mother says.
Graves take a bit of keeping up, I know. You're stone cold. Here, that cardigan over the stove, is it Ed?
It should be.
Then let's put it on, shall we?
Oh, stop fussing over me.
Arms out. Ah, oh, that's it, that's it.
Treating me like a child.
Now, don't you catch your death, do you?
I should have turned back when I heard the train whistle. I could have stopped him.
You couldn't have known what he had in mind.
But I did know. I swear I did. It was just as if I'd become him. I could feel the coldness on my neck, just as if it was me putting my head on the line.
Where were you when you heard the train whistle?
Stood there like a stone, made no attempt to go back.
Where were you?
By that tree we stood under the shelter from the rain just now.
Then you'd never have made it to Borrow's Meadow before the train came.
I didn't even try. I made the excuse that he wouldn't do something silly like that. He wouldn't have the courage enough, not Raymond. He wasn't a man at all. Inside he was still that funny-looking little boy in Cantastra.
That's it. Here.
Oh,
here, come on,
Auntie. Away from me, will you?
It's a bit sticky. I'm sorry. I must have wiped my hands in it while I was making the flower paste.
I don't want you or your flower paste. And I don't like being told what to do.
Well, I'm sorry. I am a bit bossy. Habits I've got into with having to be a father since I was 17, but habits can be changed.
I was asking you to change them.
Well, I'd want to change them. If you didn't like them.
What have they got to do with me?
I've got intentions.
Well, then you can forget them. As I'm forgetting men from now on, my ambition is to be a tight-faced old spinster schoolmistress. Thank you very much.
Let's pour that tea, shall we? Oh, are there any biscuits?
In the cupboard there.
Oh, nice tin. A present from Porthcawl.
I brought it back from our honeymoon. I'm going to be rid of that, too. As soon as I find another tin for the biscuits.
Oh, cream ones. Long time since I've had a cream one, I can tell you.
Keep seeing him. Marching across the road to our front door in his cut-down trousers. He was always playing soldiers. His father had been called up, and before he went off to the army, he made Raymond a little wooden rifle with a piece of elastic to keep it on his shoulder. And he gave him his railway cap for a soldier.
Here, come on. Rest your head here. One dry bit of my shirt. Yeah, that's it.
I never wanted to play with him. I was afraid that if I did, the others would all make fun of me as well. So I always asked my mother to send him away. But he'd always try again by saying, my dad's coming home today and bringing sweet spring in. And then my mother turned him away a second time. He'd give that sad little smiley and walk away to play alone outside his own front door. And I'd watch him from behind the upstairs curtain till the others came to taunt and mock him. I'd stay there, making myself watch, till I cried.
A cup of cup of tea now?
Not for a minute. Just go on holding me for a little while. Then we'll go down there with the flowers. I knew what he didn't know. My mother told me.
What was that?
That his father was never coming home. He'd been killed in the trenches. You'll say nothing to Lawrence about this.
I'm not likely to see that much of him, am I?
Lawrence said he'd written to you, giving you an interview on Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah, but I shan't be going.
Why not?
Well, because he's giving me the interview purely as a reward for keeping my mouth shut about you and him.
Would it make any difference if I told you that I'd asked Lawrence to give you the interview?
You asked him?
Well, you told me you were waiting for an interview, so I mentioned your name to him to see what he could do.
Before all this?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I don't want to seem ungrateful, so... Well, perhaps I shall go along on Tuesday. Anyway, I shall need a job more than ever now, as I'm planning to take on more responsibility.
You're a very determined young man, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid I am. Here. It stopped raining. Shall I carry the flowers?
Oh, no. No, I will.
Right.
Respectable people do. Then ask her what she did. Ask father what he did. When both of them pleaded that love was all they needed. Go home and tell your mother that her beautiful child is gonna belong to me.
In Love and the Great Western, Ewan Meredith played Tom Stark. And Jonathan Painter, Ambrose. Amy Jones was Moya Leslie. Grandpa, Jack Walters. And Victoria Veazey Morgan, Susan Sheridan. Lawrence Veazey Morgan was William Simons. The headmaster, James Benson. And Ambrose's classmate, Damien Mudge. Love and the Great Western was written by Barry Thomas and directed in Wales by Adrian Morgan.